Hey, welcome to episode 98 of the Hockey Free For All podcast. I am your host, Steven Stiles, and we are just blowing through countless episodes lately because there is just so much to talk about. And what I want to start off with in episode 98 is the return of Christian Dvorak to the Montreal Canadiens lineup. And as great as that is news-wise, great to hear Christian Dvorak is back. Always nice to have another body to put on the ice. Always nice to have more options for the lineup and things like that. I found a comment regarding his return very intriguing, very strange. Christian Dvorak in his return will shore up the bottom six because he has a strong two-way presence. Are we talking about the same guy? As glad as I am to see him back, as glad as I am to see that his injury has been healed from and he's doing fine, certainly wouldn't wish him any bad luck. I, since the day he's arrived, haven't really seen a player that is of any benefit to the organization. And like I said, although it's nice to have another body, another option in the lineup, he's just kind of a random option. I mean, he's had times where he's been the or had the highest faceoff percentage win. That's nice. But again, another one of those players that since his acquisition to the team, and in this case, the player that was acquired to replace Jesperi Kotkaniemi, when you compare him and Kotkaniemi, it's kind of been a wash. Both teams kind of lost out. Carolina didn't get what they were thinking. Montreal didn't get what they were hoping for to replace him with. Arizona kind of lucked out by getting a draft haul that Dvorak turned out to be not worth. I hope that Christian Dvorak is completely healthy. I wish him nothing but the best of luck, but I gotta be honest, it will not hurt my feelings at all if Montreal is able to trade him in the offseason and move on from him. He has not been a good fit in Montreal, just like Jonathan Drouin wasn't a good fit. Josh Anderson wasn't a good fit. That's why I say when all these people want to make trades and acquire players, not too many players have come to Montreal and actually fit in well. Players that have. Certainly Kirk Muller was great. Certainly Vincent Damfus was great. So players have, but in large part, the overwhelming 90% of the players they've traded for that are already established NHL players don't pan out in Montreal. Max Domi came in and just flamed out the next season. Brian Gionta had some good seasons. Towards his probably last three seasons in Montreal, was a shell of himself. Scott Gomez, total waste in Montreal. So that's why I'm not big on Montreal. Again, can only imagine the contract that Montreal would have been saddled with, that they would have been dealing with, had they gone after Pierre-Luc Dubois, who has just completely flamed out and not lived up to expectations at all in Los Angeles. Has been a total dead money flop. That's why I'm so not into, if you will, players from other teams being acquired. Montreal has got everything they need internally with their own NHL roster and their own prospects yet to come to Montreal and be part of that roster, which many, many, many of are very, very close in doing. But regarding Dvorak, I have not witnessed this shoring up ability, stabilization, if you prefer to call it that, or strong two-way forward playing. He kind of has a couple of good games and then kind of disappears for a long time. He's one of those players that if somebody gets injured and you want to pop somebody in with some NHL experience, good, glad I got him for that option. But other than that, not anybody I'm really counting on. Not anybody that is going to be a difference maker. The next topic of discussion out there that I found really interesting is that for some reason, even though the regular season of the 2023-2024 season is not over with yet, the playoffs have not started yet, the Stanley Cup has not been won yet, we're talking about world championships this summer. Isn't that a little early? Shouldn't that be like a discussion like post-NHL draft? Like takes you like past the end of June, past past Canada Day, past free agent frenzy signings, and now, with all that behind us, we could talk about the World Championships. It just seems way too early to discuss World Championships to me, which is why I'm going to get to eventually here Martin St. Louis' comments or response, which I thought was fantastic when asked about that. But before we get to Martin St. Louis, there's people that think Mike Matheson, Nick Suzuki, Alex Newhook, Sam Montembeau definitely need to be part of Canada's team. No, Mike Matheson, after the extremely heavy workload that he's had this season, would be far better off and serve himself and his game and the team better, I think, if he took the summer off. You don't want him burned out. Same thing, especially even more so with Nick Suzuki. Oh, Nick Suzuki's got to play for Canada. If he wants to, great, but I actually hope after the season of workload that he's had, facing the opposition's best every night relentlessly, being the guy every night relentlessly, all the other aspects of the game that he has played, is asked to cover for, all the assignments that he's given, all the minutes that he's playing, I hope he takes the summer off and just kind of kicks back for a couple of months, for lack of a better term. Now, in the case of Sam Montembeau and Alex Newhook, great, they should play. Alex Newhook had an extended injury which caused him to miss some time this season. The World Championships would be beneficial for him from a kind of collective cohesion of his game perspective. Getting everything back in sync, the timing, not that it's been bad at all lately, because it hasn't been, but it gives him an opportunity to work on some things, some more experience. That tournament would be beneficial to him due to his injury. He can fine-tune things. He can expand parts of his game, either discover or enhance other talents that he has. He's an extremely quick skater, which will be beneficial to the team. And for Sam Montembeau, he had the ability to have a growth season at a slower pace because of Montreal's three goaltenders, which again, I will say and remain steadfast, was beneficial, not adverse to either Sam Montembeau or Caden Primo, but Montembeau will have the type of season that a tournament on top of it will not just wear him out and cause him to have a dead 3-month span of the opening of the following season next year, like so many goaltenders have been burned out from having. Take time to recover, and before you know it, it's December. So yes, for Sam Montembeau and Alex Newhook, a tournament I think that would benefit them. For Mike Matheson and Nick Suzuki, no. For the U.S. team, people that want to see Cole Caulfield and Caden Primo, absolutely. I think Cole Caulfield needs that tournament. That is actually a need tournament for him to enhance his game, to get his game synced up, for him to have greater understanding at a high competition level what he has to do so he has greater success. Cole Caulfield's game has grown this year. That's been the positive. The disappointment is, I think it's also held him back from being the offensive force that he can be, and I think he needs to work in some new dimensions to his game to remain continuously effective moving forward as a sniper. Because let's be honest, nobody's ever going to confuse Cole Caulfield with a physical force or physical presence on the ice. He doesn't back down from anything, but let's be honest, at 5'7", 175 to somewhere up to 180 pounds, not exactly a physical threat. So he has to evolve his game and add multiple dimensions to his abilities, or else he will become very predictable and not nearly as effective as he could be. As for Caden Primo, much the same story as Sam Montembeau here. He's had a season where he hasn't had to get burned out, hasn't had to play 60 games, isn't just sitting there sucking air because he's already so tired from the regular season. The Team USA opportunity, if that comes to him, would be a phenomenal benefit. He's young. He has tons to learn. He's learned a lot already. He's improved this season tremendously. This would further enhance his development. It would be a phenomenal tournament for Caden Primo. The four people that would benefit the greatest from being on Canada and the U.S. teams are Montembeau, Newhook, Primo, and Caulfield. They would all have a fantastic tournament, a very, very helpful tournament, and would help their games significantly for next year. Regarding Slovakia in that tournament, I hope Juraj Slafkovský plays. The kid's a horse. The kid is physically right now the most durable and has the greatest amount of energy and reserve that he will ever have. So this is a perfect opportunity for him to continue his very high upward growth pattern this year. He would excel and probably literally take over that team and many of the games that they play in that tournament. But I also hope to go along with him after having a really good year in the OHL. His friend and longtime teammate that he's played hockey with his whole life is Philip Massar. I hope also gets a ticket to the Slovakian team for the World Championships as well, because I think that would be extremely beneficial for Philip Massar as well as Juraj Slafkovský. Moving on to Joel Armia and the Finnish team for the World Championships coming up. I would love to see Armia play for Finland. That tournament every year seems to be like the coming out party for his offensive talents that he always kind of shows some of in the NHL, but that tournament really seems to, for whatever reason, awaken him, and he is like a scoring leader on that team. And as he's gone through the 2023-2024 season and is by far right now at this point of this season playing his best hockey, that would be a great way to follow that up and hopefully continue to enhance his value. There's three players, and I'm just going to do a little side note or discussion here for a second, that I would love to see Montreal unload this summer. That's Josh Anderson, Brendan Gallagher, and Joel Armia. And a fourth one I just want to put on that list as I thought of it is Christian Dvorak. But Joel Armia's performance late this season and in that tournament might just be able to provide Montreal a much greater return than it would have at any other time in the past few years. But I would love to see Montreal be able to unload those four players. Now, that brings me back to Martin St. Louis' response when asked about the World Championship tournament this summer. I thought it was fantastic when his response was literally way too early. Why would I even talk about that? The regular season isn't finished. Playoffs haven't started. The Stanley Cup hasn't been won. Even though Montreal won't be in the playoffs and vying for the Stanley Cup, we still have 10 games to play. That's where the team's attention and dedication needs to be. I thought that was a fantastic response from head coach Martin St. Louis. That says and proves he wants his team's head in the game, committed to the team, not wondering about things way out in the future that have absolutely no relevancy currently, as that tournament doesn't until the month of maybe the end of July or early August. I thought his response was perfect. Although some people would say, well, I don't think he should have responded that way. That was a little harsh. No, it wasn't. It was accurate. It was on point. His head is where it should be as a coach, and he wants the teams and all their players' heads where it should be as a team. That's exactly where everybody should be. Not drifting down somewhere, and then suddenly the last 10 or 12 games of the regular season seems like nobody's in sync, nobody's head is in the game, everybody is just kind of off in la-la land or something. That's what he wants, is targeted attention to what is relevant now. Moving on to the Art Ross Trophy contest that's evolving, pretty much is a three-man race. It's going to come down to Connor McDavid, Nikita Kucherov, and Nathan MacKinnon. All three are legitimate options. All three of them are having phenomenal season. Connor McDavid, not so long ago, wasn't in the same ballpark point-wise. He caught right up in record time. All three of those players are amazing. I still say McDavid is the odds-on favorite, but I think if he doesn't win it, I honestly believe this is Nikita Kucherov's year. But it's McDavid's to lose. He has owned that trophy. And all three of them are right there with very, very similar point totals. Let's move on to relentless trade acquisitions, or what I like to call trade dribble. Apparently, there are people that haven't quite gotten it out of their system yet and are still obsessed with, oh, this summer, we have got to make a move. Montreal has to acquire Trevor Zegras. Why? What is the obsession regarding Trevor Zegras? Now, that said, is Trevor Zegras a good player? Yeah, but Trevor Zegras is exactly that kind of player that Montreal would acquire that I spoke about to kick this episode off with. Some games he's noticeable, some games he's not. Some games he's up for, many games he's not. Sometimes his head's in the game, sometimes it's not. Sometimes he seems in sync with his teammates, knows where they are, is very fluid. Other nights, he's an erratic ghost. He seems to play games at different intensity levels, which is not allowable, especially given the money that athletes make today. No, you're all in all the time, or you don't deserve to be on a pro team. That's the way it is. And if that seems harsh and demanding, guess what? You're making a salary that a lot of people will never get close to. Earn it. Oh, but he's got some chemistry and some background with Cole Caulfield. Okay, well, Cole Caulfield's centers have largely been Nick Suzuki, who they have tremendous talent together with in chemistry, or Kirby Dach. He doesn't need Zegras. Not to mention the fact Zegras has signed a 3-year contract of a $17,250,000 total value with an annual hit of $5,750,000. Again, Montreal does not need to be saddled with another dead contract or another contract of high value from an inconsistent player. Moving on from him, another player that suddenly has become a got to have is Martin Nekas from Carolina. No, Montreal doesn't need him either. Again, for one of the main reasons they don't need Zegras or the other player I'm going to mention, all three of these players that we're going to talk about and are talking about are centers. Montreal already has 4 centers in place, some of which are with the team right now. Others will be there as early as next year without competition. And what I mean by that is you've got Suzuki, undisputed number one, definitely has proven that this year, without question. Dach comes back from an injury that he suffered this year, number two center, without question, not a winger, he's a center. Newhook's not a center, he's a winger. So everybody that wants to make Newhook a center and Dach a winger, stop. Dach is a true center, Newhook is a true winger. So Dach is number two. Owen Beck, I think, is going to have a lights out coming out party in training camp. He's already had several good training camps already and stood out. He's your number three. And Jared Davidson, currently in Laval, is your number four. And he's one of many options as number four, but I'm going to put him at the head of the list. You don't need any other centers, which is another reason you don't need Zegras and a reason you don't need Martin Nekas from Carolina, who hasn't exactly lit the world on fire. Yeah, he's got some decent size. Yes, he's coming from, in the case of Carolina, a very disciplined, conditioned team, but that does not make him a need target of Montreal. Again, Montreal has its own existing and coming in talent. They don't need to acquire and give away any of that talent or the draft capital that they've stocked to get players from other teams. And this finally brings me to the third of the three players. Everybody's, oh, what about Kent Johnson, though, from Columbus? Again, not to be boring, a center that Montreal doesn't need, already defined all that, won't recap that, and is really a player who has done nothing to this point in his career. And I don't think any one of these three players in Zegras, Nekas, or Nekas, depending on how you want to pronounce it, and Johnson are going to mesh and fit in with the team, which has been a problem with your Christian Dvorak's, Josh Anderson's, other players like that that haven't fit in. Why create the ripple effect? Why take up roster spots that you've got players and prospects already vying for? Why acquire external players when you already have all the internal talent coming through your pipelines? I just don't get the trade for, we gotta have, oh, this player's a must have. No, they're not. They're not gonna help the team. They're not gonna move the needle, as some people like to say, in the right direction, even remotely. As a matter of fact, they're probably players that will cause regressions. And one of these three players that I started to get immediate cold chills about was Zegras, given the amount of money he makes per year, almost as identical to what Josh Anderson makes. And I am almost willing to bet, without a doubt in my mind, that it would turn out the same for Trevor Zegras as it's turned out for Josh Anderson. So much hope, so much expectation, and in the end, a dud. And you're just like, wow, really? People want to live that again? What is with the reliving of things that haven't worked the first time that's been tried? And try it again just for fun. Just because, oh, well, this time, it'll work out this time, or, well, Well, that can't happen twice. Really? It's already happened multiple times. I don't understand why anybody would want to just sit there and retry something that hasn't worked just because, well, this time I think it will. And as for Kent Johnson's acquisition, how many people were happy with the way Alex Galchenyuk and Jesperi Kotkaniemi turned out? Because that's where he's heading. He's been about that useful or that successful. And that's not saying much. Anybody want to relive that one again? Because it was so fun to go through the first time. And then again. So the first time was with Galchenyuk and the second time was with Kotkaniemi. How'd that turn out? So people want to acquire Johnson because they didn't get enough of that kind of disappointment? Really? Wow. Okay. Trades like Doc's acquisition and Newhook's acquisition made sense. Filled needs. But this trading just to make a trade, just for change, or to fulfill someone's appetite of, oh, we need to make a trade. We need to make a blockbuster move. No, successful organizations, whether it be corporations of business or sports franchises, don't make trades just to make trades. They make trades for a specific reason, need, and to fill something on the team that's missing. And none of these trades that we're talking about do that. So if this is just someone's chaotic, rabid behavior of going, oh, we just need to make a trade. Just to make a trade. We need to make one. You're like, yeah, no. No, that's not good management. That's not good business. That's a setup for continual failure and bottom league feeder teams or organizations never becoming anything else but. Moving on to John Tortorella. And I love talking about Tortorella because he just does not get enough credit, enough praise, enough positive attention. So when that moment presents itself, I can't help but jump on it. And for all the people, and I don't know if these are the touchy-feely, overly sensitive, feel good, I don't know. I can't tell you what those people are like. Type of people. Tortorella is doing it right. Tortorella is instilling expectations and growth for right now and for the future. Some people will call it standards. Some people will call it ethics. But he's instilling something that's been missing in a franchise for a long, long time. And if you look at Daniel Briere, their GM, he was a player that left it all on the ice, gave it his all, and never looked back in a single game wondering, what if I did? Because he did everything he could as a player every game. Keith Jones, the team's president, same thing. An all-in guy, 100% effort, never leave anything to go, oh, I should have done. He was in every play, doing whatever he could. And Tortorella is that kind of coach. And if that's too harsh, or he should be more sensitive, then players need to change careers. There's another career calling their name, because it's not hockey. Hockey requires your A game every game. You're all in. You're committed to excellence. And that's what those three guys expect in Philadelphia. And my hat's off to them. But in particular, John Tortorella being front and center in front of the media, having to deal with that heads on, is responding to and doing exactly what he needs to do in the way that it should be done, and is leveling the playing field and getting people's attention and giving players a reality check that's desperately needed. And it doesn't matter how long you've been there, what your position is, if you're captain of the team or not, if your dad is high up in the organization or something weird like that for a player, bring your A game, leave it on the ice 100% every game. And if you don't, you're not going to be part of Tortorella's team. And I applaud John Tortorella for that. That is in desperate needs in mass amounts everywhere. And just to wrap up episode 98 of the Hockey Free For All podcast, Montreal, unfortunately, has had a very good year in a lot of ways. A lot of growth, a lot of careers have taken off, a lot of trajectories are moving in the right direction, but unfortunately we'll miss the playoffs for the third year in a row. That's unfortunate, but hopefully with a little bit of luck at the end of the season and some luck during the draft lottery when that process is started and finished, Montreal will end up with a top five pick, and I look forward to the Canadiens next year making the playoffs. I think they are a legit playoff team next year. And I know a lot of people are going to say there's a lot of competition in their division. There's a lot of competition rebuilding and improvements in the Eastern Conference. All at the same time, I think Montreal has done it better than most teams have, if not the best of all teams. I can't wait to see next year's roster. And again, I think the Owen Becks, Philip Massars, and Sean Farrell are going to form the third line that I've already talked about. I think Jared Davidson is going to be the center for the fourth line center, along with all fan favorites left winger Mike Piazza. I think there's going to be a very, very solidification of the lineup next year from goalie to defense to forwards. I think they're going to have an outstanding year next year. Not saying something like they're going to finish first in their division or first overall in the league or something, but I think they're going to be a very talented and successful team next year, and these last 3 years has brought it all together. On that note, thanks for tuning in to episode 98 of the Hockey Free For All podcast. I'm your host, Steven Stiles. Have an amazing weekend.